Well, between sips of our Starbucks coffee, thank you, Danielle, we will be reading some verses tonight. And we are in a brand new series called Encouraging the Redeemed. We finished up with our series on the truth about giving, and we really had a really good study on that one. That was a three-part study. And I think this one will probably just be a one-off. This will just be for tonight. But it really started with, it's actually been over the last couple of months, maybe since the conference really, that we have really been focusing a lot on how to encourage each other, really trying to make a serious effort to do it. And it really all came from that verse in Hebrews that we're all familiar with in chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. And it says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Sometimes I read this verse and I think, daily? Really, God? Daily? I mean, don't you know how busy we all are with our jobs and school and our family and our kids? And yet God, in all his omniscience, he knows how busy we are. He still says daily. Mm-hmm. I even went and did a bit of a study on the word daily just to see, did he really mean daily or is it a mistranslation? He couldn't really expect us to do it every single day. And yet, that's what he asked us to do through the writer of Hebrews. We have been looking at ways of doing that and we really try to focus on that. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would really be interesting to put some meat on the bones, so to speak, as far as encouragement, and have a look at some of the verses throughout the New Testament that talk about encouragement. And things that we feel are encouraging to us personally, and also how we can encourage each other. Mm-hmm. Because we're all here to help each other, that's what it's all about. We're helping each other to do this, and we all want to continue on the narrow path. We all want to finish the race strong, and we all want to make it into the kingdom. So therefore, we want to help each other do that. Mm-hmm. I looked up the word encourage, and it's the Greek word parakaleo. And it means to call for, to call to exhort, or to encourage. But first of all, what I wanted to do is I wanted to go back to the book of Hebrews, and I wanted to look at who this is addressed to, just so that we are 100% sure in our minds that who we're talking to and who, therefore, we have to encourage. Mm-hmm. So in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess." And we know that the book of Hebrews is written to holy brothers or holy brethren. We know that from our previous studies, that the word brethren or brothers, remember we've looked at this in the Gospels before, that Jesus Christ defines that for us. And he says that brethren or brothers are those that are doing the will of the Father. So we know that when we read the book of Hebrews and when we're told to encourage each other daily, this is addressing specifically those that are doing the will of the Father and that are living a holy life. Holy is an adjective. So it's those that are living that holy life. Yeah. It's those that have set themselves apart, that are doing the will of the Father. Those are the ones that we are to encourage. It's not every single person that says, "I'm a Christian," or every single person that you know in your life that's redeemed but not living according to the standard of the word. Our focus, as far as encouraging goes, has to be on those that are living a holy life and doing the will of the Father. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that we were all clear on that, so that when we think about encouraging each other, that we know who we should be focusing on. So if you look a wee bit closer at verse 13, what would you say the purpose of encouraging one another daily is, if you actually just look nowhere else but on verse 13? Because it says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness."
So that you're not hardened by sin.
You're not deceived.
Yeah, exactly.
By doing that, then, that sin cannot harden your heart.
Yeah. And that's the easiest way to interpret the word, because you interpret it right there where it's written. Mm. You don't need to go to
read
other sources.
Or,
yeah. to find out what encouragement is all about and why we do it. And I think, you know, when I read that and I think that if we encourage each other daily, the purpose of doing that is so that we're not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I think, wow. So if we get encouraged daily, that's then going to prevent us from being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I was thinking how important it is then for us to encourage each other. I mean, if you really want to serve your brothers and sisters, and you read that verse and you see that by doing it, you can actually prevent somebody from being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because sin is deceitful. You never think you're in sin. That is the real deceit of it all. You don't ever realize that you're drifting away. You don't ever realize that you've been deceived in some way. Because none of us would ever say, well, I've lived my life and I've been deceived here and I've been deceived there. But little by little, we can be deceived quite easily. And therefore, as we are deceived, our heart gets a little harder and we don't draw close to God in the same way. And it gets a little bit harder so that you don't even think about it and you're not convicted anymore about what you're doing. But when we're encouraged by each other, when we have the word spoken to us, when somebody's encouraging us, or when we see somebody living the word, that encourages us, we automatically then walk by faith. We're motivated to live that holy life because somebody has encouraged us to do it. So I think that's such an important verse. And even though we might think, oh, I don't know how to do that daily, I really believe that God can work in us to show us how we can do that daily. And it doesn't need to be a face-to-face meeting because, I mean, who can do that? We just don't do it and God understands that. But there's so many ways. And in our day of technology, we can use that to our advantage, really. That is the purpose of encouraging one another daily, is so that we don't get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So tonight, I thought it'd be great just to look at some of the things that Scripture talks about as being encouragement. You know, let's go to the Scripture and see it. And we're going to look at the New Testament primarily. And we're going to look at a few of the things that Paul talked about as encouragement. And in many sections of Scripture, he talks about the importance of mutual encouragement and how he himself was often encouraged by the brothers, by the brethren. In Acts chapter 28, verse 15, Danielle, would you like to read this?
Sure. The believers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged.
Yeah, or took courage, encouraged. So at the sight of these men, and these men are referring to the beginning of the verse, which is the brothers. So at the sight of the brothers, Paul thanked God and he was encouraged. So even just the sight of other believers can encourage us.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And that's how he took courage. And we're also taught in Romans that we are mutually encouraged by each other's faith. In verse 11 it says, this is Paul talking, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And that mutually encouraged, that comes from the word that we looked at earlier. And there's an extra little word on it. So it comes from both words, son and parakaleo. And I think we've probably all experienced that, where you have spent maybe an evening with another believer, or you've spent some time with them. And at the end of it, you're just so mutually encouraged by each other's faith, by each other's walk of faith. See, they are striving for the kingdom the way that you are. And you both go away and you have been encouraged by each other just to see the faith that is in that person's life. And that's what Paul was saying, was that there is a mutual encouragement when we are with people that are walking by faith. So that's why it's so important to fellowship with each other as much as we can. In 3 John chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 to 5. And so most of you are suffering from sore throats, I will read. You want to read? You okay to read, Louise?
Yeah.
Okay, read verses 1 to 5 then.
the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth, how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Isn't that wonderful? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And I know that even when we hear of other people walking in the truth, or if you hear of somebody that's redeemed, that has just come to a lot of these truths and are new and being discipled in them, that when you hear how well they're doing, it does give you joy. You rejoice at that. I know many of us, we correspond with people through email, and I know that people live far away, but even when we get emails and we share them with each other and we say, oh, so-and-so is doing so well, they have just shared this or that about the word, and your heart rejoices in that because you know that they're walking in the truth, the truth of the scriptures. So that encourages us too, and that's what we're looking at. We're looking at ways that as redeemed people that we are encouragement. Where do we get our encouragement from? That's what we've got to find out. We've got to go to the scriptures and find that out, because we all need encouragement. So we have to find out how we can get that encouragement.
Right.
And I was thinking about our last study, The Truth About Giving, and when we finished it off, in part three, we saw that when somebody gives, not only do they bless the person that receives the gift financially, but that person is normally so thankful to God that that act of giving results in praise and thanksgiving to God. So not only do you bless that person financially, but God also gets the added thanksgiving and the praise that comes along with that. So that is also so encouraging, because when somebody gives to you to bless you when you have a need financially or materially, and they do that, it also encourages you to look to ways to give back or to give to somebody else, because you see that example of giving in somebody else's life and you are encouraged to emulate that. So when you have an abundance, you then are motivated to give from that abundance because you remember the blessing it was to you and how that resulted in your thanksgiving to God. So that is another way that we can motivate each other to be thankful and to walk in the truth. So looking at the book of Corinthians, chapter 2, we see that Paul was also encouraged by those in the assembly at Corinth, even though much of what he wrote to them in his epistles was actually in the form of reproof. You know, he was telling them where they were going wrong and trying to correct what they were doing wrong. But he still derived a lot of encouragement from them as they continued to change and to grow and to turn their back on the things that they were involved in and to reach forward and to run the race. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4 says, this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. And that word encouraged in verse 4 is parakalesiai. It's the same root word to from parakaleio. And in verse 12 of the same chapter, he says, so even though I wrote to you, it was not on account of one who did the wrong or of the injured party, but rather that before God you could see for yourselves how devoted to us you are. By all this we are encouraged. So he was encouraged by them. And if you read any of Corinthians, first or second, you'll see why. Because they were turning from how they used to live and walking the truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Danielle, I think it would be you tonight.
Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting.
So even though they had distress and persecution, they were still encouraged. And I think that's really significant, because when we are in persecution and when we are going through really hard times, it's imperative that we encourage by each other, because that encouragement keeps us going through the really hard times. And that's what was happening to Paul. Even though he was in distress and he was being persecuted from all sides, their faith, him witnessing their faith and their walking in that faith towards the inheritance, mm-hmm. really encouraged him. So he was then motivated to walk, continue to walk in the faith.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny in that verse that if you look at it in verse 8 where it says, you are standing firm in the Lord because of your faith, and your faith and standing in the Lord gives you persecution and distress. Mm-hmm. And then it says, for now we really live. So it's kind of like you only really live when you're going through distress and persecution, but that is because of your faith.
Yes.
And that means you're standing firm in the Lord. So it's kind of like,
that's right.
They're all connected, you know?
That's right, because when we...
If that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does, Emily. Because when we are baptized into Christ, it means that we are willing to take on his suffering. Because if you die with him, you also will reign with him.
Yeah.
Dying to self is suffering. Yeah. And picking up your cross every day is suffering. But yet, if we want to partake in the glories of Christ, we also have to partake in his suffering. Through suffering, Christ learned obedience. And that's in our lives too. It's through the distress and the persecutions and the sufferings and the things that we have to put up with because of our lifestyle, because we're endeavouring to do the will of the Father. That is what makes us strong. That is how
what
we
is
really
our,
live. That is our life. That is walking by faith, because we're not setting our minds on things below. We're not looking at the stuff of the world. We're not doing what the world does.
Mm-hmm.
We're not living the way that the world does.
Mm-hmm.
And we're endeavouring not to be part of this world, although we have to live here. So we're not conforming to this world. We are setting our heart on things above. We're looking towards the inheritance. I think it was you, Louise, that said, was it you that said to me today? We talked about being rich. And you said, oh, you'll be rich in the kingdom.
Not
and I
today.
Said, well, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. But no. I just think that's funny because so many believers think that, you know, we're not going to be the ones receiving the distress and the pain and the suffering. You know, that's people who don't know God, and that our lives after we are born again, which is not even the correct term, but that everything's just going to be great. But that verse totally tells you that when you receive the distress and persecution, as far as the Lord's concerned, that means you're standing firm with him and that you're living by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you begin to really live. So
yeah, it's like Ian was teaching on Sunday in his last part of running the race. He was talking about the importance of focusing on what is unseen, how we've got to look at what is unseen. And that's a contradiction in itself.
Yeah, itself.
How can we look at things that are unseen?
Yeah.
But yet that's what we do when we walk by faith. Because nobody's seen the inheritance, nobody's seen the kingdom,
no.
Nobody's seen the Lord.
Yeah.
And everything that we are focusing on is stuff that is unseen.
Right.
You know, we have given up, or are endeavouring to give up everything so that we can have something in the future that we have never seen.
Yeah,
sounds
really
it
know.
Sounds crazy when you say it that
yeah.
way.
We don't even know if we're going to get that even. Like,
yeah, it's not a good
that's right. But we have confidence that Christ, who started this work in us, can help us see it through to the end.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it says that in 1 Corinthians. Ian and I were looking at this last night. I'll just have a quick look. Ian Jr.
Do you have a chapter number?
Yes, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Anyway, let's start in verse 4. Again, Paul talking to the Corinthian church. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed to you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Mm. I love that verse 6. He will keep you strong.
No, that's 8.
Verse 8. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the day of our Lord Jesus Christ is when the Messiah comes back.
Right.
He will keep us. He is able to keep us blameless. And blameless is when you're able to stand in front of that judgment seat without any sense of sin or wrongdoing, because you have continually confessed your sin and you have washed yourself, or you have been washed clean.
That's important.
And it's because of the grace, because if you go back to verse 4, Paul is thanking God for them because of the grace given to you in Christ Jesus. We always have this conflict about works and grace. Because we have to work at our salvation, people think that that is a works trip at times. Mm. But yet, any good works that we do once we're redeemed are a reaction from the grace that we have been given. You know, without that grace that we have been given, we would never be motivated to ever do anything godly or to live a holy life.
Yeah.
You know, when we are convicted of doing something that's not right, and we change, we repent and we change, and we live a better and a holier life, it's because that grace that God has given us has inspired us or strengthened us and enabled us to do that. So there is no works without grace. It's God's grace that enables us to do the works. So we can never forget that. And we can never allow people to accuse us of being on a works trip, because it's not. We give God the glory in everything that we do, in every instance when we ever do anything according to his word, or we do anything that motivates a brother or a sister, or how we encourage each other. Right. That is all motivated from within because of the grace that God has given us. So where did we get to? That was 1 Thessalonians, wasn't it? Yes, yep. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. Philemon, verse 7 of chapter 1, says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement, Parakaleo, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. So Paul, he was given great joy and encouragement because Philemon had refreshed the hearts of the saints. And that is what gave him joy and encouragement. So anything that we do out of that grace also encourages and motivates other people. You know, it's very important to understand that.
And that they need refreshing.
And we all need refreshing. We really do. I really need this encouragement. I need the encouragement that I get from being with other people that are like-minded. I need the encouragement of reading the word, of taking time to do that, because it's like we talked about before, it's like recharging your batteries. You know, you get to that point that you're just empty. Like you were saying, Emily, you need to be refreshed. We all need to be refreshed from time to time. In Matthew 22, verse 14, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. We're very familiar with that one. But I think that it's very important for us to remember that, because we're not surrounded by hundreds of people that are patting us on the back and telling us we'll make it, and encouraging us to keep on going and telling us that we can do it. There's very few people in all of our lives that we have that are really encouraging us, and that's why we've got to make that effort, because if we don't make that effort, then our hearts are going to be hardened by sin. So we have to really fight for each other in that way, so that we can encourage each other.
I sometimes wonder if it's like, because he talks about that so much, about encouragement and how it has to be daily, that maybe it's a test for a lot of people, because it would be easy if we all lived next door to each other, or all lived in the same city or even country. It wouldn't be a struggle then, and it wouldn't be a constant thing that we'd have to do, because it would be easy. But I think it's funny how a lot of people that have come into our lives recently, like, somehow all seem to live so far away and are not in, not very many people we can actually fellowship with.
Yes.
So I just wonder if that's just God maybe seeing, you know, it's easy to say if, like, if we all were in a church, it would be easy then. So that wouldn't be a big thing that he had to test us with.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what he's doing for us, you know,
yeah,
to see if we're actually
because
doing
this,
his work.
Because this verse, or that first verse that we read, verse 13 of chapter 3, that has to be as true for us today, in this century, in this day and time,
yeah,
as it was for them
back then, yeah,
that were actually living at the time that the author wrote the book of Hebrews and was encouraging them to encourage each other daily. And yet that truth has to be able to transcend time so that today it's as true to us as if we had been there. So God knew that technology would change, that, you know, we wouldn't all be living in small communities like they were back then. But yet, in his foreknowledge, seeing how we would be living now, that verse still has to be relevant to us and still has to be doable.
Right. But I mean, if we didn't have technology like they did back then, they would, I mean, you just think about how difficult it would be to encourage somebody that's miles and miles away. Like,
mm-hmm,
I don't know even know if they had anything like mail.
Well, no,
they might have, but
they would do their, that's when they would do the missionary work. The
travel,
you know, you see the journeys that Paul did.
As far as
going to Rome in Italy.
But we don't even have to leave our house,
no,
to encourage people. Like, and that's the thing, and I know I struggle with that. Like, trying to remember to email people back when they send me something, and it's hard to just get caught up in what you're doing and then go, you know what, like, and that's my priority, is to be responding and encouraging who need it, and if they're giving it to me, you know,
yeah,
and not just saying that you're just doing it because you feel you have to, but doing it because you feel it's necessary and
yeah,
it's a priority.
Yeah.
As you said, that's what stops them from sin hardening their hearts, and that's quite a big responsibility, really.
Absolutely. We think about ways that we can encourage each other. We can Skype each other. It doesn't even cost any money to do that.
No.
To Skype each other, or to email each other, or to BBM, or Facebook.
Anything. It's. I don't think anyone writes letters, but I'd be chuffed if I got a letter in the mail.
I hope you're chuffed.
What does that word mean?
Chuffed means like really happy. Like,
okay.
Totally stoked would be a good word.
Okay,
like,
thank you.
Trust.
Just like, because I just think that people just don't do that anymore. And I think that takes a lot of effort, and where nobody does that anymore.
No, people don't write to each other.
Or like how easy it is to go on your laptop, like in your living room, and just like type a message. Easy, but hard at the same time.
Yeah,
to remember. And I know we've like talked lately only encouraging people when they're encouraging you back. Because I know we were talking about that with the blacks and how difficult sometimes, because I know when you make an effort to encourage people or do things for people and you don't really get a response back, I think it then becomes discouraging to you because you feel like, well, I'm not getting any response, so then I'm just not going to do it anymore because what's the point if it's not making a difference, or I can't tell if it is. But
mm-hmm,
it doesn't say encourage each other daily if you get a response from the person
exactly
you're encouraging. You don't just love somebody because you hope they love you back.
Yeah.
You love them because that's what God has
yeah
told us to do. So
you're right. That's a good point, Emily. And I think what we've been finding too is that although we don't always get responses from people, a couple of months go by and then somebody tells you how that message that you sent them encouraged
yeah
them,
but they never
said
anything.
Sneaks back, but they don't say anything at the yeah time. So that just shows you that God is not necessarily using that situation to have you
be discouraged. Yeah, or mutual, yeah.
But he's using it maybe to have that person encouraged, regardless of.
Because it's the same with,
back to you.
It's the same thing with us speaking to redeemed people about the truth about the kingdom. I'm not just going to speak the truth to a redeemed person because I need and want a response. Of course I do, but I'm not just going to do it because I know that they're going to maybe be interested. You do it regardless.
Exactly.
So it's the same with encouraging. You are the one who does what you are told to do as far as scripture goes, and it is God's plan after that and how that
That's right.
If he opens her eyes to that, that is how it works.
See, it's our responsibility to reach out to the redeemed, to seek out those whose eyes have been opened so that we can help disciple them, in the same way that it is our responsibility to encourage each other daily. Yeah. And that's a command from God.
It's not
do it if those people that you're encouraging continually encourage you back.
It has to be done with love. Like, can't just be like, encourage them if you don't have the right
heart. Yeah, like, but
it is hard work at times when you don't get response, but you just have to keep on doing it because you know that that's you doing the will of the Father. That's part of doing the will of the Father, is to encourage each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep that in mind. But you know, ultimately, our greatest encouragement comes from reading Scripture.
Yeah.
Because you can be really discouraged and you can be going through some persecution, distress, hard times, and you can read the Scripture, you can read one chapter, and your heart can be so blessed and you can be so encouraged as you realize that the Holy Spirit is opening up your eyes and you can actually understand what you're reading.
Yeah.
And I think that is so thrilling and so exciting. And it's such a privilege, but we know that with that privilege also comes great responsibility. Because it's not about knowledge. It's not about how much you know. It really isn't.
Yeah.
Because what's the point if you stand in front of the judgment seat and you know that you've understood so much Scripture, but what did you do with it?
Yeah.
You see, Christ is not going to say to you, well, did you understand what you were reading? You don't get extra points for understanding what you're reading, because that's God.
Well, it's the elementary. Half the stuff we're learning is just elementary stuff.
That's right. It's just
of understanding.
But the thing is,
like,
are you doing the will of the Father?
Yeah.
Are you doing the encouraging? Are you living a holy life?
Are you doing
really
what you can,
endeavouring to walk by faith and not to get sucked into the stuff that the world's trying to get sucked into? I always think of it a bit like your health or like having a house.
Yeah.
That every so often you have to check your health and make sure that you're eating the right stuff, that you're exercising.
Yeah.
And every so often you're eating maybe, well, I'm just talking to myself here, but your eating might get out of bounds from time to time, and you know, you start eating more junk than you should be eating. But every so often you just keep pulling yourself back all the time.
Yeah.
And it's the same with when you have a house. Every so often you have to look at this house and see what repairs need done. Is there any maintenance? Is there anything that needs to be updated or worked on? And it's the same with our spiritual walks. Every so often we have to have what we used to call years ago a check-up from the neck up.
Yeah.
And just look and see, what areas in my spiritual life do I need to address? Is there things that I'm allowing just to go on unchecked without me actually doing anything about it? And when I do that, I know there's always things. And when you ask God to show you, oh boy, he's going to show you.
Yeah. Isn't that right?
And then you know that there's things you've got to work on. And maybe when you look back a year ago, the things that you allowed in your life, you would never allow now.
Yeah.
And I think we had this discussion because we have all got to the point where we've decided that TV's not good for us.
Yeah.
I think TV's getting worse. It's really going downhill. But I think you just have to keep checking your life, your spiritual walk, and see, what do I need to address?
Right.
Is there areas in my life that are taking me away from the Word?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that I need to change? Is there something I need to do differently? And that's what we all need to do. And we will always need to do that until the Lord returns, because there's always things that we have to address, because we're living in the world and we're trying so hard not to be part of it. But even without you realizing it, you kind of get kind of sucked into little things. It's not a big thing, but it's just little habits that you have in your life that you need to think, right, well,
and that you constantly justify.
Yeah, and that you justify in your own head and you think, well. So getting back to the Word and talking about our encouragement coming from reading the Scriptures, in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage." And again, that's from the same root word. And it's here it's para Kalian, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Louise, do you want to look up Titus chapter 1?
Yeah.
So that we can get the context of what this is talking about?
Verse 5.
Okay. Start in verse 5.
The reason I left you in Crete was...
Okay, let's start with verse 1. Let's see who it's addressed to.
Okay. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God and the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town, as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he may encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it.
Excellent. So now we know that the he there is referring to the elders, the overseers of the church. So we learn that the elders must hold firmly to the trustworthy message so that in order, that's the purpose, that they can encourage other people by the sound doctrine. And it's the sound doctrine, we find sound doctrine in the scriptures. So without knowing that, we can't teach sound doctrine, therefore people cannot be encouraged, because as we teach sound doctrine, we're then encouraged. I mean, you could sit in a Sunday at times, and you might come in and you're a bit blah, but then you hear the message and you're, wow, you're so encouraged. There's verses that you've read that you didn't realise. Right. There's things that you learned that you didn't know. And all of a sudden you've got, it's like you've more ammunition now to run the race with. So it's really important. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, for everything that was written in the past, and that's talking about the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So again, we see it's the scriptures that encourage us. So like we were talking about before, we've got to continue to encourage each other, even though we feel at times we maybe not getting that encouragement back from the people we're trying to encourage. Because in Matthew chapter 20, and I know we've looked at this several times, but Christ gives us the definition of a true servant, a true bondslave. And in verse 25, it says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you, talking to his disciples. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And that word for servant, and I wrote the two different words here so that you could see that the word for servant and the word for slave are completely different. So whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, diakonos, which is a minister. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. It's a different word. It's doulos, which is bondslave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So if we want to be bond slaves, we have to be a slave to everybody. We have to put ourselves last and everybody else first. And that works when we talk about encouragement as well. It takes effort to encourage each other. It takes discipline. It takes putting everybody else first and you last. It's knowing that possibly you won't get any reply or you won't get any message back, but to continue to encourage because you know that you're doing the will of the Father. And that's part of being that bond slave, that doulos. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And I know we're doing it. We really are endeavouring to do it, especially in the last couple of months, really endeavouring to do it. But we have to keep doing it, and we have to do it more and more. Mm-hmm. And we can't give up. We just have to. That's just got to become part of our life, that we are always encouraging each other. Not only do we get mutually encouraged, but we also can help each other not to become hardened mm-hmm. because of sin. And that is vitally important. Personally, what things do we all find encouraging spiritually? Can you think of anything that has encouraged you to run the race better, or has encouraged you to walk in the narrow path and to stay on the straight and narrow? Is there anything specific that you find that really works for you?
Sometimes when I'm like, if I'm having a bad day or whatever, like just hearing a Christian song, whether it be like myself figuring out that I need to put it on or just randomly hearing it, like that totally changes my thinking.
Yes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, music's kind of my thing, so
that's
for you, that's what helps you.
That's what does it the most, I think, more than anything.
But David used music too, written and sung to praise the Lord. Then
it's great.
It's very encouraging.
Very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
I think, you know, like even going back to how much we use technology. Like, I mean, I think I can speak for most people, but especially with Facebook, made the decision to get rid of a lot of friends that were on there that were discouraging me, and keeping people there that are encouraging me, so that when I do go on there, I'm reading pretty much just scripture that other people posted to bless, obviously, anyone that is able to read it. And
Emily, is there anything that you find specifically encouraging?
Yeah, there was an incident where Courtney Black.
Courtney was here the last time, 2 weeks ago.
Hey, Courtney.
Miss you, Courtney.
Yeah, like when Courtney was here last, a couple of weeks ago, we were going to go and see a movie. For me, I think that I would watch a lot of movies and things like that that weren't really the best to watch, but or would be right on the edge. And so I think like when she was here, she was really striving to watch something that was pleasing to God and something that was holy and that was pure, because that's extremely hard to find. But for me, it was like I never really had somebody that really, really was quite adamant about finding something that was pleasing to God. You know, she was like, oh, this might not be the best. We don't really know. Where if I just see some violence or something like that, I'll just kind of be like, oh, that's fine. But I don't know how that movie's going to pan out. When me and Courtney were going through it, like, she made me realize that, is that worth seeing that scene of violence or swear words, because for some sort of entertainment where that can affect my walk with God or just where my mind is going to go. It's frustrating sometimes because you kind of like, you don't want to not be able to watch movies, and you're kind of like, oh, you're so right, but my flesh is fighting it because mm-hmm. I want to live in that. Like, I want to be able to just see whatever
and just
I feel like.
The little bits that are disrespectful.
And just kind of, and just kind of be like, oh, it's not really that bad. Like, it's not like it's an R. You know, and then you go through and you just kind of justify it. And so when she was here, I was kind of like fighting it a little bit. Like, my flesh was fighting. But she really made me see that that's so important to God, what we fill our times with.
And what did you go see?
Despicable Me, like the cartoon one. And it was so much fun. It ended up being a great night. And we all left there feeling really good about it. That's what encourages me, is other people on the path, or other people that we're living with who are striving for holiness. That's what encourages me, other people helping you on the path. Bill.
That is a really good point. I think we all have different weaknesses and we all have different strengths.
Yeah.
When somebody isn't affected by your weakness, they can help you.
Yeah.
And that's what I love, is that we don't all struggle with going to clubs or gambling. We don't all struggle with pornography or getting drunk. But some of us might struggle with different things and that you would never think of being tempted by.
Mm-hmm.
So you can help that other person with that.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a weakness with gambling, I don't want to hang about with people that also have that weakness, because we're all going to encourage each other to do the wrong thing. Yeah. If you like to go and watch movies that are a bit distasteful, then you've got to be with people that don't have a weakness in that area so that they can help you, so that we're all helped together. Mm. I was thinking today about the things that really encourage me, and I know that when we read scripture, we're encouraged. But I also think, I agree with you, Emily, that when I hear of people talking about how they want to live a better life, or when they see something in their life that's not quite right and they say, they admit that's not right and they want to do something about it, and they want, and they've worked, they're working out the strategies of how they're going to do something different rather than that, it's so encouraging.
Yeah.
I find that it's almost, it gives you like a burst of energy, and you want to do that too, and you want to help them, and you want to be part of that. Because when you, when you see somebody reading the word all the time, that motivates you to get your Bible out.
In a good way, and it's like...
Yeah, or when somebody says, oh, I was going over that series of teachings, you think, well, I've not even listened to that series yet. You know, it motivates you, so we all help each other.
Yeah, and then if you, but then there's other people that, you know, redeem people that you hang out with, then you wonder why not once have they said anything to do with God or about teachings or encouragement, and that, that encourages you to almost say something to them because you feel like it's not as much in their life or not as much in their conversation.
Yeah. So just to summarize tonight, we've learned that we should be encouraging one another daily. Every day. God didn't make a mistake. And we learned that those whom we are to encourage are the holy brethren. That's those that are doing the will of the Father, walking by faith towards inheritance, living a holy life. And also we are to encourage, sorry, we are encouraged by the love and the faith of others, even in times of persecution or distress. We also learned that sound doctrine and the scriptures encourage us, and that when we are encouraged, it helps us not to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I think that's the key, that if we're encouraged, our hearts are not hardened. So therefore, we have to encourage each other so that we too can help each other not to be deceived by sin.
Right.
So any more questions or comments? Okay, so I'll finish with prayer. And our next meeting is on Wednesday, the 6th of October at 7:30. So, Father, we thank you for your word this evening, and we thank you that we can read your word and believe it, that we know, Lord, that you would never ask us to do anything that's not within our ability to do it when we have your grace. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we ask you to help us to encourage each other daily, that we can set aside time every day to do that, whether it's even just by praying or messaging or exhorting each other, that we can make that our priority so that we can help each other not to be deceived by sin, Lord. And Father, we're so thankful that you open our eyes, that we can see these words and understand them. We thank you for giving us that understanding, Lord, and we know with it comes responsibility. So Lord, in humility, we thank you, and we ask you to continue to give us grace so that we in turn can reach out and bless the lives of those redeemed around us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.